Hi, what's going on? It is a Rams reaction Monday. The Rams pummeled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yesterday at the Coliseum, at SoFi Stadium. It was not even close. By the way, I love the Coliseum. It's a great place, but oh, man, no tunnels to get stuck in. It's beautiful. It's crazy. You know how you go to the Coliseum and you get stuck in those friggin' tunnels. That's never going to change, never going to change. But it is a huge upgrade. I know USC is trying to remodel the Coliseum, but they got a long way to go to be able to match what's going on at SoFi Stadium, the most beautiful stadium in the entire world. By the way, that's not hyperbole. None of this is hyperbole. When I say the Rams are the best team in the NFL, that's real. When I say Matt Stafford is the favorite right now to win the MVP, that's real. When I say most beautiful stadium in the world, most spectacular stadium in the world, that's real. I'm not making this stuff up. You might think that's hyperbole, but that's all 100% true.
Well, there's never been a stadium where they've spent that much money. Prior to this, the most expensive stadium ever built was Jerry World that cost $1 billion, the Cowboys Stadium outside Dallas. And this cost over $5 billion. So, I mean, there's not really a comp. There's nothing.
Now, you haven't been there for a game yet, Sean.
No, I just went there that one time with you.
Yeah, that one, you got a tour. Bergman, you got to go there for, I gave you my exhibition game tickets, right?
Yeah, I went to Rams-Raiders.
Oh, you know, I feel bad for the Chargers. The Chargers won yesterday, and it was a really good win
Big
over Kansas
win
City.
For them.
Chiefs are 1-2. Unfortunately for the Chargers, they've already faced the Cowboys at SoFi Stadium, and the Cowboys took over the building. Monday night, they faced the Raiders at SoFi Stadium, and you know Raider fans are going to take over the building.
Yeah, well, they've never really had a home field advantage. It's just, you know, we've talked about this before. The people that are from San Diego don't like them because they feel like they left them hanging. And L.A. already had the Rams and the Raiders kind of as their home teams. So there wasn't really any room for a but they're good. Brandon Staley is a good coach. And Justin
he is a good
Herbert.
Coach, yeah.
Justin Herbert is, I'll tell you, listen to this guy talk after games. He sounds like Russell Wilson did when Russell Wilson broke in with the Seahawks.
He's very good. He's very good.
Peyton Manning did when he broke in with the Colts. I mean,
I decided the Chargers are not a team I'm going to hate anymore.
Well, they're good. You can hate them, but they're going to beat some people.
Because I feel bad that whenever I'm on vacation, you bring on Chargers people.
Yeah, next time you leave, we'll have Herbert on.
Why don't we do it now? I'm not going to hate on the
Chargers. We don't need any Chargers on here. Like, let's be honest.
You don't want Justin Herbert on the station?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're
I don't want
mind.
Guests, period, on the station.
That's
so that's
true.
A whole other conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because most of them are terrible, guys.
Explain that. Seriously.
Justin Herbert isn't.
Because I'm sure Justin Herbert is just fine, but it's nobody that I'm interested in hearing.
You don't want to hear Sean McVay on the show.
Well, okay, I don't mind Sean McVay on. We are the Raiders State, or the Raiders. We are the Rams. I wish we were the Rams
station.
Yeah, we are the Rams station, and Sean McVay comes on, and he is on weekly, and we love having Sean McVay on. But when it comes to all the other guests do not add anything for you. They're not telling everything that you're telling most people, and this is just my opinion and probably a lot of other people's do. They turn the channel when you bring on some of these people.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I don't think
you know what?
True.
You're both right. It depends who the guest is.
Right. Yeah, it depends on the guest, and it has to be the right one and somebody that's going to have fun with you guys too, not just give you information is boring.
Speaking of having fun, do you have that Kevin Durant stuff from today?
Oh my God, this is so funny.
Let's make sure we have it first.
Yeah, make sure we have it.
Technical issues we're having.
For those that love the Jordan Clarkson bit.
Okay, yeah. And we're working on rectifying that.
We are.
But, all right, so here's the amazing thing about this. At Media Day today for the Brooklyn Nets, the Laker Media Day is tomorrow. At Media Day at Brooklyn Nets, a guy just started randomly asking questions. Mace, I couldn't believe, if you look at Twitter, anyone under the age of 30 had no idea who this was. I recognized this voice 2 seconds into it. But somebody who isn't traditionally at Media Day had a little fun with Kevin Durant. Here's how it went.
Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh, right.
And my second name, my last name. My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD. This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
110.
What about the Pelicans? When you guys play the Pelicans, does it kind of make you giggle?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I got.
That was David Letterman. Mace, what I realized was, my guess is he's doing another one of those my next guest things for Netflix. And
sure.
He's probably doing it with Durant. But the fact that nobody under the age of 30 figured out that was David Letterman.
Well, he's got that gigantic beard. I assume he's still got the gigantic beard.
Yeah, he does. But it was, I mean, how great is that? KD. Why do they call you KD?
Why do they call? Well, my first name's Kevin. I love Letterman. Interestingly, it's the anniversary of the start of The Tonight Show. Can you name the hosts of The Tonight Show from beginning to end?
I think there have been
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hosts.
Okay.
Or 7 times they've changed.
Okay. So I don't know if I'll get the order right. But at one point it was Jack Parr.
Right.
At one point it was Steve Allen.
Yes.
Did Johnny Carson replace Steve?
It was Allen, Jack Parr, and then Johnny.
Okay. After Johnny was Jay Leno.
Yep.
After Leno, does Conan count?
Absolutely he does. After Leno was Conan.
And then after Conan was Jimmy Fallon, right?
After Conan was Leno again.
Okay.
And so, then Jimmy Fallon.
Okay. Yeah. I used to, like, when Carson was on that, I was a kid, you won't be surprised at this, I didn't sleep.
Yes.
So I would watch Leno and Letterman. I'd even watch Tom Snyder, and then I'd go to bed.
Yeah.
But
anybody
was a teenager in the 70s or 80s, Carson was must watch.
I mean, if you were to say, where did Mason get his sense of humor, his sense of what's funny? It all came from Letterman. Letterman was
Jimmy
like
Kimmel
the
says
guy
the same
for
thing.
Me.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jimmy Kimmel says the same thing.
Jimmy Kimmel does?
Yeah.
Where did your sense of what sense of humor you've got, Bergie? Where did it come from?
From my mom.
From your mom?
Yeah, from my mom, from Jan Bergman. Yeah.
We're going to have an excuse to have Jan back on the show. Jorge, where'd your sense of humor come from?
Yeah, probably my mom.
So both your moms are really funny?
Why? Yeah, I think so. She is. No, she's
my funny. Mom is very funny. My mom is very
funny.
She's
funny.
Not as funny as Letterman.
Bobcat.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, you know, I think it kind of depends on who you grew up with, too. I mean, a lot of it is like, I kind of come from that Larry David Seinfeld situations are funnier than I am, but those guys are great in those situations. Like, you go back and watch any of those old Seinfeld episodes, Jerry's not cracking a lot of jokes.
No, he's not. He's actually the straight man on the show.
Most of the jokes come, and either are George or Kramer or Elaine, most of the jokes come and this is why Curb works, from the situations those guys put themselves in.
True, true.
So that's what
Yeah, in fact, you know Peter Melman, right? He wrote the contest.
Met him playing pickup basketball.
Yeah, really funny guy. He wrote the one called The Contest. You remember The Contest?
Yeah.
Who could
he was an executive producer on that. He had his own show. Peter had his own show for a while.
Yeah.
Called It's Like You Know, and it was all about life in L.A., and it was very funny. Yeah, I was surprised it didn't last.
I want to get to this Bill Oram piece. Bill Oram is a great, great writer. He does a really good job for The Athletic and is covering the Lakers, and he did a deep dive on the Lakers. And there's some really interesting stuff that comes out of this. The one that jumps out, and you highlighted it too in your email to us, is that he expects the starting lineup to be AD, LeBron, Westbrook, Wayne Ellington, and Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, that surprised me.
That surprises me.
I would have plugged Melo into that, but Bill thinks, and it sounds like he's pretty well researched on this, he thinks that the fact that Frank Vogel is such a defensive coach and Ariza is an excellent wing defender, that Ariza's a better fit there. Melo's better offensively, but Trevor's better defensively.
Ariza's 36 years old. Does he still?
Yeah.
Wasn't he, like, barely in the league last year?
No. Well, I mean, he was available at the beginning of the year. But I think that Ellington would be in there for his shooting.
Yeah.
And Ariza would be in there for his defense. And
see,
the fact
I would
that
put Bazemore in for his defense. Bazemore is a good defender.
Right, but Ellington's a better shooter. Where's your shooting coming from if you play Bazemore?
Well, Bazemore shoots.
But not like Ellington. Ellington's like a 42% three.
Right, but the
shooter.
Guy I'm replacing is Ariza.
Oh, well, you're giving up height.
Yeah, you're giving up height, but you got shooters.
Bazemore's like 6'4", and Trevor's more like 6'7".
It's actually really encouraging that AD is going to be so ready to play the five.
I agree, yeah. And the fact that it sounds like Westbrook's getting the ball.
Oh, no question.
LeBron has been, you know, running. He's kind of been like point LeBron for the past 3 years, but it sounds like Westbrook's going to take care of the ball, and they're just going to try and run people out of the gym.
The other thing about that OMP, he had a couple of really good things. So that Buddy Hield trade was for real. That was potentially going to happen. Buddy Hield and Kyle Kuzma were involved in that deal with Sacramento until the Westbrook thing came along. Also came close to a deal for DeMar DeRozan until the Westbrook deal came along. And ultimately, the Westbrook deal happened because of Westbrook's pressure and a direct phone call between Jeannie Buss and Ted Leonsis.
Yeah, Leonsis is the guy who created AOL.
Oh, wow.
Who owns both the Wizards and the Capitals. And until Russ called him, he didn't think that the Wizards were willing to move him. But he asked for a personal favor, and Leonsis said, well, sure. You know, you played your heart out this year, and if your heart's not in it, you don't want to be here, then we'll arrange something. And then Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, and Rob Pelinka started working on a deal. And in order to finalize it, they got Jeannie on the phone. By the way, Jeannie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Jeannie.
Oh, happy birthday, Jeannie.
They got Jeannie on the phone with Ted Leonsis, and they finalized the deal.
Do you think Jeannie would come on our show?
I don't.
Oh, wait a minute. First, we've got to run this by Bergie. Bergie, Jeannie, how's
that? Jeannie is always welcome on this show. She's great.
What do you think she'd come on the show, John?
I don't know.
Can you put in a word?
I can try.
She used to text with me, but she hasn't responded to my text messages lately. What are you laughing about?
Nothing. I
you just laughed. There's
yes,
that's an explanation.
I think
for
she's
that.
Dealing with more important people than you is what I was laughing at.
Yeah, but I mean, still, just being friendly. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have Jeannie on, especially, you know, with the season starting.
Send her a text. See what she says.
Okay, I'm going to drop her a text. I'll drop her a text right now. Dear Jeannie. A Dear Jeannie text. I will do that. All right, coming up next for you. And by the way, anything you want to react to on the show, 877-710-ESPN. Rams are the – oh, forget that. Do not call. Do not call. Because it's Million Dollar Mondays. And so right now, I got a stupid little game. Let's go with five callers, Greg. Five callers. Somebody's got a chance to win Rams-Cardinals tickets – Battle of the Undefeateds at SoFi Stadium on Sunday, and you will qualify for a chance to win $1 million. You will give us your two Super Bowl teams and the predicted final score, and if you nail that, you get $1 million from 710 ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We will do the ungoogleable game next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And here we go. It is time to give you a shot at winning $1 million because it's Million Dollar Mondays. Right now, just for playing, if you win, you get Arizona Rams tickets for Sunday at SoFi Stadium, plus a shot then at $1 million if you pick the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. Ireland, who do we got to play?
First up is John in L.A. Hey, John, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
John, are you ready?
John sounds very serious.
Okay. If you add Jim Everett and Roman Gabriel's career passing totals, then subtract Vince Ferragamo's career passing yardage, how much yardage do you wind up with?
This is total for the career?
Yep. Take a guess.
Everett plus Gabriel minus Vince Ferragamo.
5 seconds.
Give me, I don't know, 500?
500, okay. Felix in L.A. is next. Hey, Felix, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Felix? What do you got for a number?
Give us a number.
I would say round it off to 7,900.
7,900. Okay, good.
Pretty good. Fernando in Beaumont. Hey, Fernando.
I'm going to say 8,300.
8,300. Okay.
Pretty good. Adam in L.A.
Hey, guys. I'm going to say 10,000.
10,000. Okay. Got it.
And then last is Steve in North Hollywood. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I'm thinking. You said Everett and Ferragamo?
Yep. 5 seconds, Steve. Give us a guess. One, two.
Hold on.
Three, four, five.
Okay,
you're
15,000.
You're out. No, you took too long. We can't give you time to look this stuff up. So it's John, Felix, Fernando, and Adam. Mace, what's the correct answer?
The correct answer is 36,605. Which means Adam
is your
is
winner.
Our winner.
Hey, Adam.
All right, that's awesome.
Congratulations, man. Adam, what's your last name?
My last name is Kapolsky.
Kapolsky.
Nice, a lot Adam like Mashonsky.
Adam Kapolsky, from
yes.
L.A. All right, Adam, think about this. We need you to give us two teams that you think are going to make the Super Bowl, and guess the final score. If you pick the teams and the score correctly, you win $1 million. Who are the two teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go Bucks over Chiefs 34-31.
Okay.
Bucks over Chiefs 34-31 for Adam Kapolsky. All right, Adam. And by the way, you get tickets for the showdown between Arizona and the Rams on Sunday at SoFi. Have you been to SoFi yet?
No, I haven't, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
It's going to be a great day. Adam, thank you very much for playing, and good luck. We hope you win a mil.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, all right, man. Adam. Congratulations.
I did the math right on that.
Hope so.
Everett plus Gabriel minus Ferragamo. You have to admit, that's pretty ungoogleable.
Yeah, except that one guy, it seems like, was trying.
He was going for it, yeah.
But the Adam Kapolsky is the winner, and I hope he wins $1 million.
Yes. All right. That is going to be a game. That is going to be a game on Sunday. Game on Sunday. Wow. Somebody, by the way, so you know the story that if I finish last, which is not going to happen, in our Hollywood Football League, I will shave one eyebrow off. Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Wombra Man.
Tweeted a picture of me with no eyebrows at all. Now, that's not an option. You're not allowed to go with just one eyebrow, with both eyebrows gone. But I actually look pretty good with no eyebrows.
Don't you think so?
I look pretty good?
Well, now, I'm wondering, because I think you're going to have to do it. I think you're going to finish last. Are you going to go shave both eyebrows off to give yourself symmetry, or just roll with one?
Rolling with one. I'm rolling with one eyebrow and a Sharpie. That's what I'm rolling with. Yeah, so this guy found one of my old headshot pictures from when I was doing a lot of acting. So it's it's kind of a
So that's
sexy
why you
picture.
Think it looks good?
Yeah, that's why I think it looks good. I was taking good photos in those days. So what do you think of that starting lineup, John? The one that we just talked about from Bill Arms' article.
I like it. It has but I think that starting lineup may not be the finishing lineup.
Correct.
I think for example, I think Talen Horton Tucker might work his way in there.
Yep.
I think he is similar to Ariza in skill set.
I think Bazemore is going to play.
I think Kendrick Nunn is going to get some shots in there.
You're going to get Malik Monk. I mean, there's so many guys on this route. And, of course, Dwight and DeAndre Jordan, the moment AD's out of the game, you got to put a center on the floor. So I think that it's smart, and you may disagree. They've got a very deep roster, but I think it's smart to not put a minutes limit, but to dial back the minutes for both AD and LeBron. Westbrook is going to be able to be that playmaker a lot of the time. And let's face it, you know, the reason we fizzled out against Phoenix was the injuries. I think dialing back the minutes on LeBron and AD is the smart way to go into this thing.
Well, I think that'll happen naturally, like almost organically, but I think 10 guys are going to play. So that was similar to the year they won the title. Remember, they had all those guys like Dwight Howard and Alex Caruso and Markieff Morris and, you know, that whole gang coming off the bench. I think this team's going to be very similar to that team, where you're going to see a lot of guys playing. And so the guys who start may not necessarily be the guys that finish. And also, who can make open shots? Because when you look at Westbrook, LeBron, and AD, they're going to command double teams most of the time, which means somebody is going to be wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be Ellington or Kendrick Nunn or Malik Monk or Carmelo, whoever who can consistently hit those shots. Kind of thinking back to when Shaq and Kobe were on the Lakers and Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, Brian Shaw, all those guys showed an ability to make open threes. And when they did, they hit them. So that's going to get somebody playing time too. All right, so we got a lot of feedback on this. When we played the Jordan Clarkson thing earlier, apparently you guys couldn't hear it. This is Jorge apologizing. All right, Here was the bit. There was a woman who is a reporter for a television station in Salt Lake City. She was sent out to, like, the middle of town to do man-on-the-street interviews. That's where you just stop people on the street and ask them questions and put them into your story. So the story she was working on is, how interested are people in the Utah Jazz? And so she walked up to somebody, and you'll hear her ask him his name, ask him to spell it, and then ask him if he went to any Jazz games last year. And we thought this was very funny. Hit it, Jorge.
Mike, now you spell your first and last name.
Spell it. Jordan Clarkson. JORDANCLARKSON.
Oh, did you go to any Jazz games?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, he was a regular at Jazz games.
He went to a lot of Jazz games last year. So after she did this, and apparently it got out, people got, like, she apologized. Clarkson got into the spirit of it. All of his teammates were texting, like, this is the greatest thing ever. But how about Clarkson never breaking cover?
Oh, genius.
Now you don't think he doesn't come across as a jerk doing
that? No, not at all. He comes across as just innocent guy answering questions.
Like, if somebody did that to me.
It's not that lady's job to necessarily know who Jordan Clarkson is.
Okay, so if somebody did that to me and stopped me and said, hey, can I ask you, like, if I'm at a Ram game and some girl walks up to me and goes, can I ask you a couple of questions? I said, sure. She says, can you give me your name and spell it? And I say, John, J-O-H-N, Ireland, like the country. And she says, did you go to any Laker games this past year? And I say, yeah, a lot. She says, okay, thanks. And I walk away. Am I being a jerk?
No, that's not a jerk move. That's just being honest. That's being direct.
You're right in both cases. It's not lying, but it's not telling the whole truth.
Correct. By the way, on email, there's a big debate about whether or not there is a game 163. And there is. Everybody's saying, this is Tim Haddock and some other people on email. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com, saying if the Dodgers and the Giants tie for first place, that the Giants win the division because they won the season series.
Not true.
And that's not the way it works. They do play.
Because they won the season series, the Giants would get the game in San Francisco. That's what their reward is for winning the season series. But there would be a one-game playoff to determine who's the division. And then that team would have to turn around and play the Cardinals. They would host the Cardinals. But there is a scenario where the Dodgers could finish tied for the division, play game 163 in San Francisco, lose it, and then have to play the next day against the Cardinals to stay alive at Dodger Stadium. Not ideal, but it could happen.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. It's, again, I think we play to the tape. We are going to play to the tape.
I think you assume you're going to be in the wild card because the Giants have not shown any signs of weakness. And get your pitching lineup and your everyday lineup. Get everybody ready for that wild card game right now. Start
today. But
it's
not inconceivable that the Giants lose 2 out of 6.
Yeah, it is. But it's and not, by the way,
if they do,
you have to go 6-0.
What happens if we win tomorrow night and they lose? It's only a 1-game difference.
Right.
We're one game away from being 1 game away.
Then that changes things. But then, at that point, if it goes the other way, if the Dodgers are then 3 down with 5 to go, are you coming around to my side? Let people rest?
3 down with 5 to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it could swing either way. I would come to your side.
By the way, I don't know who exactly you – like, I would still throw Walker Buehler. I would do exactly what we did with Julio Urias last night. You throw him 5.
Even though his velocity is down.
No, Buehler's velocity is not down. Urias's was, and it was back last night.
Okay.
Buehler still got his velocity. He just says he's got stuff to work out. He says that's on him. All right. Now I can say you can always reach the show, 877-710-ESPN, no matter what is going on. Greg and Ireland are all excited. Bergie and Ireland are all excited about the Raiders. They're 3-0. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Rams are the best team in the National Football League after manhandling Tampa yesterday. That thing was no contest. 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, if you look at the NFL standings, you've got, what, 3, 4, 5 undefeated teams left?
Right, but balanced. None of them are as good as the Rams.
None of them is good. But if you were to take a team after the Rams, in other words, who's number? We're all going to concede that the Rams are the best team in the National Football
so
League
far,
after
yeah.
what they did yesterday. Who's the second best team?
Well, it's hard because, like, just
Kansas
judging.
Kansas City's 1-2.
Right. I would say Buffalo, but they lost to the Steelers.
The autumn wind is a Ram.
That was the wrong bite. That was the wrong bite.
Come on, Bergie. Way to go, Bergie. I like that.
So, if I had to, the Raiders and Denver are both undefeated, but
Denver really hasn't played anybody.
Carolina's undefeated. They don't do anything for me. Arizona's undefeated. They don't do anything for me. So it'd be one of the 2-1 teams. I think I would pick Buffalo. But the Ravens are a possibility.
I can't believe you're not jumping up and down about the Raiders. I have the Raiders at 3. I actually do like Carolina. I was looking at Pro Football Focus. You know, statistically, according to PFF, they've got the second-best defense in the National Football League, and Sam Darnold looks like a new guy under Matt Rhule and Joe Brady.
Well, they had one impressive win to me. They beat the Saints. But their other wins are against the Jets and the Texans, who we could argue are the two worst teams in the league, right?
Yeah, right there.
And the Raiders have won 2 overtime games.
But one was over the Ravens.
Right, which could have gone either way. That was a great game. I'm I'm very high on the Raiders. I'm very pleasantly surprised by the Raiders. I'm not sure I would pick them to beat Buffalo or Baltimore. Bergman, would you?
Well, right now what's happening, you're seeing Derek Carr playing some of the best football he's ever played.
He'd be second in the MVP rating. And I know people are going to say, what are you talking about, Ireland? They already beat Baltimore. If those teams played again,
it'd be close.
I'm not sure.
Max Crosby on defense is playing out of his mind. Josh Jacobs will be coming back. And you found a secondary back in Peyton Barber that actually is pretty good.
Well, I love the way Henry Derek Ruggs, Carr's playing.
Henry Ruggs is going up and grabbing balls out of midair. Like, he's doing great. I'm really, really high on this team, especially because of the offense, because they can score on anybody.
This is another guy you wanted fired after last year.
Who?
You wanted John Gruden. No,
there was never a, hey, we need to be fired. He just, it was more of a, this, it's 10 years.
Ireland
he needs to do
fired.
It. The, well, Ireland wants everybody fired.
I think he needs to win this year. If he doesn't have a winning record this year, that's four straight
years.
He's
got like six more years on his deal.
Yeah, it's funny.
$60 million.
All these NFL. I'll tell you a team that I think is going to be very interesting. I now think the two best teams in the NFC West are the Rams and the Niners. Even though the Niners lost last night, you can tell they're good. And they have the Rams number. Like, Kyle Shanahan has beat McVay, I think, every time they've gone head-to-head.
Yeah, it's weird. The Rams sort of have Seattle's number, and then the 49ers have the Rams number.
So I'm waiting for that first game between the Rams and the Niners. The Niners were 37 seconds away from being 3-0.
Yeah, boy, you give him the ball with 37 seconds left.
Stop.
37 seconds. Oh, right, I forgot we got a Niners fan on the show. I was gleeful over that. I root like hell against the 49ers. I can't stand the 49ers. They're on my hate list. 49ers definitely on my hate list. And it's so disappointing that Jorge, who I consider to be such a valued member of our team, happens to be a 49ers fan.
Well, I hate the Niners just because I grew up a Ram fan. But the thing I struggle with, Mace, is John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers.
He look like his dad? We used to work for his dad. He looks so much like his dad, it's crazy.
Is such a good guy that it's a problem, like, rooting against John Lynch because he's just so easy to like. He was in San Diego when we were there. Just a really good dude. And so I have all this, like, hatred build up in me, but then I'm happy for John Lynch, so I don't hate the Niners as much as I used to.
Yeah, I despise the Niners. It's partly because they have had our number the last couple of years.
John, I mean, I know you're a broadcaster and you're in the league and all that kind of stuff, but is there a team that you hate? It doesn't have to be basketball, because I know you can't talk about that, but is there any teams that you actually don't like?
Besides the Celtics?
Yeah, besides the Celtics. I mean, in any sport. In any sport. I don't know which teams you like and don't like.
Yeah, you sort of play it down the middle.
Right.
I don't,
every team.
Well,
like, you like the Chargers.
I respect teams that are good. Like, I don't like the Giants. I've never liked the baseball team, the Giants. But I respect that they've been really good this year. You know, they're hard. Like, I think they're going to win the division.
Like, is there any team that you have this visceral hate for? Like, you're a UCLA fan. Do you hate USC?
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't.
See,
no,
like,
I don't have it. Like, what team would you put number one on your hate list?
USC. Not it's not even close. USC.
I have too many friends.
See, me, it's the Giants. I hate the Giants.
I hate them too.
If I had to pick one, I would take the Giants.
I hate the Red Sox too.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh, I hate the Red Sox. Yeah. I mean, they're so I hate Boston.
They gave us Mookie Betts. They gave us Manny Ramirez.
I hate the whole city of Boston. If you're from Boston, I probably don't like you.
So, like,
if you happen to be listening right now and you're from Boston, I probably don't like you.
Yeah, but I'm really curious about this, Ireland. Like, when did you lose that fandom where you actually, like, have that hate?
Probably when I started, like, when I started working in sports and realized that there are a lot of people at all these teams that are just like me. So you don't root, you know, I can still root against the teams, but I have trouble rooting against the people. Like, even like, the guy who has my job at the Celtics, Sean Grandy, is just a great guy.
Oh, that's
fine.
Yeah,
but they're the Celtics.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, you're talking about how you don't like you. It's hard to root against the Niners because you like John Lynch. You can still like John Lynch and root against the Niners.
Yeah, well, that's my dilemma. That's what I tend to do. But when I was in college, I hated the Niners with a just a complete
passion. Oh, I despised the Niners when I was growing up.
Yeah, because that's when they had Montana and Rice and Clark, and they would beat the Rams every year. And
it was brutal.
Remember the phantom sack mace? Jim Everett went up there. Yep. We had the phantom sack.
Nobody touched him.
But isn't that what's great about sports is that you like? There's teams that you love, and there's teams that you hate, and you root against teams, and that's part of it. That's part of the fandom.
By the way, I would say in baseball, it's Giants, Red Sox, Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals. I always have. I've had some dark nights, dark experiences at Busch Stadium. I've been there, you know, I've traveled there. I am a huge Dodger fan to the point that, and I don't mean this as disrespect to the station, but I pay my own way to all this stuff. Like when I went to the World Series last year, that was on my dime. When I went to St. Louis for those playoff games, that was on my dime.
Yeah, you basically just used the station to get in.
Exactly. The station is like my way to get a press pass.
Right.
But the rest of the way, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be at those games. And there's no such thing as the Mason curse because I was there for the World Series championship last year. That should wipe out any lasting memory of the Mason curse.
Well, wait a minute. Were you in person at the Dodgers-Houston World Series?
Yeah.
Were you in person at the Dodgers-Red Sox World Series?
Yeah.
Were you in person at the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What were the results of all those games?
Well, they were lost, but then I went to the then I lifted the Dodgers to the World Series championship in 2020 in Arlington.
So you're 1-3 in big
events.
No,
I did Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2010. I was the pregame postgame guy.
What about Dave Shore on the floor?
He came after.
Oh.
He came after. Remember, I always lorded that over him. I was my last year doing pregame and postgame was 2010 when we beat the Celtics in the seventh game.
That's
Dave Shore on the floor took.
That's
over.
Always a tainted memory for me because they tried to get us to fire Dave Singer the day before Game 7.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
They took us to dinner and said we want to fire Dave Singer.
And we walked out.
We walked out of the dinner.
And we left really good. I left a good porterhouse on the table at Fleming's.
Fleming's, too.
Did they fire him anyway?
Nope.
No.
Oh, wow.
We saved him.
You did it.
We saved him.
Woo.
We stood up to the man. You got to stand up to the man.
Well,
all right.
Sometimes.
Coming up.
That could have gone the other way.
When we can.
Yeah.
Mostly. All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball Bergman. Bergie is going to throw some stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
That's right. Take it away, producer Bergie.
Well, I'm not sure why that went away. That was interesting.
That just went away. That disappeared.
It's fine, but I got it anyway. Thanks, Chris. Shohei Ohtani is speaking out, saying yesterday, I really like the team. I love the fans. I love the atmosphere of the team. But more than that, I want to win. That's the biggest thing for me. I'll leave it at that. He also talked about enjoying being in a playoff race whenever that happens. There's really only one question here. If that's what you wanted, why did he not choose the Dodgers when he had the chance?
Well, because I think he thought with Mike Trout and Joe Maddon and all the things that were happening there, the Angels were moving in the right direction. But, Mace, if you're paying close attention here, he's now the third guy who has basically said, go get some help or I'm out. Maddon was first, then it was Mike Trout, now it's Ohtani. And I think that if the Angels don't go out in the offseason and sign, I think they need to sign two frontline pitchers. But at least one. If they don't go out and get like a Max Scherzer, I think those guys are all going to demand trades. I think they've had it. I don't think most baseball fans can name a pitcher on the Angels outside of Ohtani. And I think that these guys are finally just sick of it. They want pitching, and the Angels have refused to get it. And now the clock's ticking. I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Artie Moreno is they developed Jared Walsh, which is really nice. They ejected Pujols, which worked out for the Dodgers, but it was a smart move for them. They added Anthony Rendon to the middle of the lineup. They've got their offense should be as competitive as anybody's. But John, you're absolutely right. I mean, what they've done pitching wise is completely inexcusable. And as for why he chose Anaheim, I think one of the things that bounced around while he was making his decision was he didn't necessarily want to be in the highest profile, highest pressure market. He may regret that now because he certainly could have signed with the Dodgers. They did have an offer on the table. So, but could you imagine the superstar level that Ohtani would have had he signed with the Dodgers?
But where would he play on the days he wasn't pitching?
Left field,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. So maybe that had something to do with it too, Greg, is that
yeah,
if he signs in the American League, he doesn't have to field.
Well, how long ago did this happen? Because we might not have had Mookie at that point, so he might have been playing right field.
Right, it happened right around the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, John. As I remember it, that was one of the things he was looking for, was an American League destination because he didn't want to play in the field every day.
All right, so Jorge's favorite movie is Getting Bigger. Back to the Future is a musical. Back to the Future, the musical, is a real thing and happening with added tickets until July 3rd, 2022. Only problem, it's at the Adelphi Theater in London. Now, let's say it makes its way to L.A. at the Pantages or something like that. Would you go see Back to the Future, the musical?
Hell yes.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what's interesting about it is there weren't any songs in the original Back to the Future movie, were there?
No.
I mean, Huey Lewis sang two songs.
Power Love.
Well, he didn't sing Power Love. He sang Back in Time, and then he sang like which was like the Back to the Future theme, and then he had one other song, but nobody sang like. It's going to be weird making a music. It's not like making Hamilton.
No, you know, it's going to be like...
this is Back in Time. Turn this up, Jorge.
There you go.
So, and Michael J. Fox played in a band. Marty McFly played in a band. But what other songs could you write
they're writing a brand new original musical. They're not taking songs from the movie. They're doing original
Well, they
songs.
Made it... They made a musical out of Legally Blonde, and apparently it wasn't bad. So, you know, let's see what they come up with.
Yeah, the guy that's writing all the music for it is named Glenn Ballard. He's the guy that has done tons and tons of music, including Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, which is right now a musical on Broadway.
Right, won a couple of Tonys on Sunday last night. Yeah.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right, thanks, Bergman. So I texted you guys a picture of a fruit that I brought in today, and I grow those in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So Bergman said he had never tried that, and that is called a dragon fruit or a pitaya. How open are you guys to trying new foods?
I'm not as open as other people are. I know what I like, and I kind of stay with what I like. Lisa, my wife, will try anything, but I'm more selective. I wouldn't try this, Jorge.
Oh, I would. I think I've had dragon fruit at some point. I just don't remember how it opens and how it peels and all that kind of stuff. But I know I've had something called dragon fruit before. But I've got a wide open palate. I will try absolutely anything. I'm all about it. You spice it up. You throw any kind of meat, any kind of fowl, any kind of. I mean, I've eaten everything. I have no limitations to what I will eat. Like, I don't have. What's your least favorite food? I don't have an answer to that. I like all food, and I especially like trying really cool food. So, no, I'm all in on your dragon fruit, Jorge.
So, I think when I was younger, I remember one time I was over in Ireland. It's when I was in college visiting my dad's family. And they handed me that. I said, what is this? They said, it's meat schnitzel.
Oh, schnitzel's
meat
great.
Meat schnitzel. Mm.
And I said, all right, I'll try it. And I still don't think I've recovered from it.
Wait a minute, you don't like schnitzel?
I took a bite of it, and I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever tasted, and I literally ran for something to drink.
It's pork, right? It's normally pork schnitzel. It's pounded out really,
well,
really
the
thin.
The worst.
Then it's breaded, and it's fried. It's fantastic.
Well, when you're
in
Ireland, you may want to pass on the meat schnitzel.
Scotland, by the way, they have something called shepherd's pie, which is basically anything the shepherd can find.
And they it's like paella. They just throw anything in there.
Squirrel in there. Yeah.
What does it taste like? Like what would be the next most common fruit to it?
Bergman, you tried it, and this is your first time trying it. What would you describe it as?
It was a light fruit. It was
like watermelon.
Yeah, like watermelon, but a little bit.
It's a little slimy
because you can taste the little seeds that are in there. Okay. Those can kind of get stuck in your teeth, but they were good.
It's kind of sweet, kind of like a kiwi.
A light sweetness, though. Yeah. It wasn't like an overbearing sweetness.
But listen to Bergman like talking about it. It's a light sweetness, but
I'm
an overbearing sweetness.
It has nodes of raspberries.
Food Network shows.
And there's a video on Twitter to see how we open it and how you can slice it up and whatnot.
Okay, right. Cool. Yeah, I feel like I'm on Top Chef all of a sudden. By the way, Power of Love definitely on the soundtrack for...
So those were the two then, Power of Love and Back in Time.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, so this next one is, here's a fun game. I'm going to play a soundbite, and you have to tell me who it is.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. He is a professional athlete and had a monster day yesterday in the NFL.
Okay. I know this. Do you want me to say, Bert?
No, let Mason guess.
Okay.
Do you have any idea, Mace?
I know the song. I can name that song in one note.
This is an NFL athlete.
Listen how good he is. Turn it up, Jorge. Like, he could do this for a living. He could be an opera singer.
I'll say Derrick Henry.
No. Ireland, go ahead.
I saw this on HBO Real Sports. It is Justin Tucker. Who kicked the 66-yard field goal, and he's really good at it. Like, they had tenors come on and talk about how good he is as an opera singer, and he could have done this for a living had he not been a kicker.
Wow. Yeah.
Greg, I'm glad you pulled that. I was thinking about pulling it out today, and I didn't know you were working on it too.
Yeah,
but it's amazing. Play it again, Jorge. It's amazing how good he is. So it's Mace, the other guy who could probably be a singer. Well, there's two other guys.
Yeah.
One is Damian Lillard. He could be a rapper.
Right, and the other one is Victor Oladipo.
Correct. Victor Oladipo, like, won on The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was, like, the best one. Justin Tucker is like a top world-class opera singer, along with being the best kicker ever in the history of the league.
I got one more. I want to
do this
real
fast. Okay, one
more.
Let it rip.
So I'm a bit torn here, so I need your advice. I accept everybody on everything, Twitter, Instagram, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure to do with this one. I just sent you a picture of an Instagram request I got this morning. Okay. It's pretty creepy. Manson the Clown has requested to message me on Instagram. He wrote, "Can we be friends,
hell no.
Bergie?"
Hell no.
He said, "Bergie," he's obviously listening to the show.
Look at the teeth.
I sent the picture.
Hell no.
It freaks me out.
You will not be able to sleep.
Yeah. So should I accept this friend request and be friends with Manson the Clown, who looks like
Wait
this?
A minute. Think about that sentence. Should I be friends with Manson the Clown?
He listens to the show, though.
What? So?
We need every listener.
The guy sits next to Mason at... Wait a minute. The guy who sits next to Mason at the Ram games probably listens to
that
the show.
Guy. He could have been wearing this outfit. No, we accept clowns. We accept mimes. We accept anybody as a listener to the show. Now, whether you want to be friends with Manson the Clown, I find clowns to be terrifying. My Aunt Anna had glass clowns all over her living room. And when we used to go over there and I was a little kid, I was always so freaked out. Like, literally 20 glass clowns on shelves and stuff. And
well, what have Mace, what was the horror movie? Was it It?
It.
Yeah,
or
yeah
the
it.
Villain was a clown?
This guy looks scarier than It.
He does.
Yeah, Bergman, you're out on this dude.
Yeah, I got to say no, right?
You have a young child. You have people to protect. You are not being friends with Manson the Clown.
Yeah, I would say no on that. I would say a definite no.
Super creepy.
All right, coming up next for you, John, I have got a unique opportunity now that I have changed seats at SoFi Stadium.
I think you're kind of a wuss for changing seats.
No, I'll tell you. I will tell you what I can do now. Tell you what I can do now. Rams, best team in the NFL. They powered through Tampa yesterday. They look great. Matthew Stafford, MVP front runner right now. Rams look like the best team in football. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.